This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, AttentionTalkRadio.com, AttentionTalkVideo.com, and AttentionTalkNews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at Facebook.com/AttentionTalkRadio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Tonight is Wednesday, January the 15th in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got a great show for you tonight. ADHD Ugly Organizational Systems. With us in our virtual studio is Casey Patey. I think that this show is good. It's fascinating. We love to pay attention to attention on the show, and that's what this is about. How often have you ever looked at or paid attention to ugly organizational systems? So we're going to get into the meat of the show in a second. But before we do, real quick, in 2 weeks, the 2014 Transition Conference is being held in Boca Raton, Florida at Lynn University. We've got, I think they got like 11 speakers that are going to be presenting at the day-long conference. I think half of them, or more than half, are frequent flyers on our show. Dr. Russell Barkley is the keynote. Dr. Patricia Quinn, Rob Todisco, Dr. David Now, and actually yours truly will be presenting. All of those have been on our show at least once, most of them several times. For more information on that, go to www.lynnuniversity.edu/transitions. You'll be able to get information on that and sign up for the event. Last I heard, they're going to take up 600 people, 300 have already signed up, and it's moving fast. So if you're interested in doing this, do it sooner rather than later, because it's sold out the last 2 years, and they expect it to do so this year. By chance, if you go, hunt me down and say hi. I'd love to catch up with you. Just a reminder, it's not too early. Start looking at the calendar for the CHAD conference, the annual CHAD conference, which is in the middle of November. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. And let's see. I think that's all of our announcements here. So I tell you what, let's get into the meat of tonight's show. For scheduling reasons and some other stuff, we had to pre-record this, so we're going to run it in its entirety. I hope you enjoy listening to this as much as Casey and I had doing it. And I have to tell you, it has spurred a lot of very insightful thought on my end in a couple different ways, and manifest in some pretty interesting coaching sessions that have been very positive. So without further ado, we'll roll the tape. Here we go.
With us in our virtual studio tonight is Casey Patey. She's a professional organizer specializing in office and paper. Her clients understand the correlation between organization and productivity. Bringing Casey in when file drawers have become frightening, piles hide their desks, or there's too many things that are missing. She has great success with clients who are out of sight, out of mind, creative, intuitive, and reliable paper flows and storage systems. The end result, peace of mind and a supportive workspace where you can find what you need when you need it. She works with both homes and professional offices, in person and via Skype. Casey has worked with over 500 clients starting her business back in 2001, and she can be found on the web at theinspiredoffice.com. And with that, Casey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, I probably should thank you for reaching out to me, expressing some interest to come on the show. I get contacted every once in a while from professional organizers, but you know, our conversation was really kind of fun because we started talking about what organization was, and I shared with you my philosophy, and you were like, "Wow, that makes some sense to me." So anybody who when I say something and they say that makes some sense, I got to have them onto the show just because, right? One of the things about organization that I've learned in coaching is that at the end of the day, it's really about everything, knowing where to find something when you need it. And so for me, when I pay attention to organization, that's about everything needs to be in a home. And all too often I've worked with people who they think of organization, but they think of pretty. And they think of hanging file folders and labels and stuff. And when they put stuff in those types of situations, many times they have no idea where it is. They can't remember those types of systems. And so, Casey, tonight I just wanted to have a real good time and talk about really some ugly organizational systems that people might not have thought of in order to inspire them to really kind of get out of the box and say, hey, listen, it's really not about pretty. It's about functional. So can you share let's start with sharing one of your stories and ideas.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think this is a great idea. It's great that we're collaborating together because what we see eye to eye on is I think we share the same definition of organizing, and that's getting somebody to a place where they can find what they need when they need it. For me to walk into an office and see 10 stacks of paper, I can't just say you need 10 file folders. I have to think way outside of the box. So when you proposed the idea to do ugly organizing ideas, it was a fresh proposition that had never crossed my mind before, but immediately I had all of these wonderful thoughts come to mind that were completely new to me. So thank you for that, and thank you for pulling these ideas out of me. Do you want me to go ahead and just give some of the first ideas that came to mind?
Let's just have some fun with this.
Sure. The first one I'll share is probably not the ugliest, but it's certainly not beautiful. And it's one that I've used countless times with so many clients in offices, and that's just putting clipboards on the wall. These are just the simple, you know, $1.99 brown clipboards from Staples Office Depot. I have some clients who only need one on the wall. I have some clients who have done 10 or 12 on the wall. So to give you an example, I have a client who, like many of my clients, is completely out of sight, out of mind. To file something in a drawer or cabinet is for it to disappear forever. So basically what we did over the course of some time was really dissect what was landing on her desk. Mm-hmm. And we both knew that nothing on the desk was going to end up hidden in a filing cabinet, because that would be pretty, but it wouldn't be effective.
Yep.
So I said, you know what, how many clipboards do you have in your closet? And I think she had 9. And I said, let's see if we can come up with 9 categories of the things that land on your desktop. And to the right of her desk, we did 3x3 clipboards, and these are just nailed onto the wall. And it's sort of like her moving, active, modular, almost to-do list, if you will. So, for example, one clipboard has things having to do with running and triathlons. She's avid runner.
Mm-hmm.
One clipboard, I think, was things to add to calendar. One clipboard was things that are already on my calendar. Another one was all of the to-dos for an organization she volunteers for. It was a home office. She has an office in downtown D.C., so I think one clipboard was things to bring to office. I don't remember all of them, but it was just a visual way of kind of splattering all of her paper on the wall. So it's right in front of her at eye level.
So I got this visual that you have a wall with some nails in the wall, and you have your standard clipboard with that little hole, and she puts whatever she needs in the clipboard, and that's by category or whatever, and it's just hanging on the nail on the wall in a very visual way.
You got it. And what I like about it is it's contained chaos. So it's organized in that we can see there are 9 separate categories, 9 separate stations, but each of those clipboards are pretty messy, but it works. So one clipboard may have a receipt and a disc. One may have, you know, a postcard, a printout of an email. So these aren't pretty little stacks of paper.
Yep.
Think of them as multimedia.
Yep, yep. Well, I like it because, again, if you're visual, you've got them out. They're up on the wall. It's not necessarily the prettiest thing. You might want to have a picture, and it's a little bit unorthodox. But what I really like about it, Casey, is I've coached a lot of people with ADHD, and we talk about memory. And some of them remember, like, I'm looking for this thing. They can associate a label with the thing that they're looking for. But many of them think in terms of what I call decision trees or kind of categories. They kind of like, where am I going to find this? And they take a look at different categories. And so they recall things based off of an association with something. And when you said that you had like nine clipboards or nine kind of categories, it provides a little bit of a demarcation. So number one, it's a way of dividing that stuff visually and then be able to find it based off of logically where would that naturally go. So your thoughts on the recall thing?
Yeah, no, it works beautifully. I always tell people to – this system along with any other requires – a label for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have a file folder or a file cabinet, they come with, you know, cute little metal boxes where you're, you know, it's expected that
yep.
you're going to put
yep.
a label on them. But with these clipboards, we had to get really creative. I actually have label tape. I think it's made by Post-it, but one of my favorite products is just this label tape. You can pull out a piece of tape that's half an inch long or 4 feet long. So we cut these tiny itty-bitty little labels and put the label right on top of the metal clip to the clipboard.
Uh-huh.
To take it a step further, something I didn't do with this client but that I've done with others is color coding. I know it doesn't work for everybody. When I do it, I'm usually fairly loose about it. But for example, clipboards you can get in different colors. So she could have had a green clipboard for her nature organization that she belongs to. She could have a red clipboard for running. She could have a yellow clipboard for, you know, all the recipes she wants to cook. So
mm-hmm.
in some cases, color association works even better than a label because then
mm-hmm.
she just trains herself, where's the green clipboard, where's the green clipboard? And then inevitably, you know, systems – they're not perfect 100% of the time. There's a very good chance that the clipboard may land on her desk. It may get buried under 6 inches of paper. But she can just tell herself, green clipboard, where's my green clipboard? And it's going to glow. It's going to kind of
yep.
jump out at her without
yep.
looking for the words.
Absolutely. Well, when you talk about labels, and we've talked about the clipboards as an ugly system, but I have to bring this in because now we're talking about you putting the labels on whether you write it or you do colors. But, you know, Casey, one of the things that I found is that I have people, sometimes they'll associate a picture with an idea. So for your client that does triathlons, if you had a picture of a person running, that can serve as a really good label to make that association as well. It's funny because I've worked with some people where they literally take pictures and they put it on the outside of binders or on the outside of drawers and stuff like that or even boxes to represent what's in that particular category. And again, it's because they see that picture that they associate it with it is for certain crowd, it makes it easy. Now, it's not the prettiest thing when you've got drawers and folders and binders with all these, like, visual pictures around, but it can be very effective for those minds who work like that.
I like that. And that reminds me of something I've seen another organizer friend of mine do,
mm-hmm.
in that she does this all over the house, but one image that's coming to mind is for her medicine cabinet. And the medicine cabinet she's organized for her clients. She has all of these clear plastic shoe boxes, if you will,
uh-huh.
full of different things, you know, lotions, potions, bug bites, upset stomach. And she's printed out next to the word a really big picture, like of somebody clutching their
yep.
stomach or somebody
yep.
itching their arm. And it's I think that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yep, yep, yep. Well, it's funny because I know ugly system I had with somebody one time was fascinating because I knew that they were kind of visual, and normally we think of to-do list as a list where you write things down on a list. And this particular, I said, what'd it be like if you drew a picture of it? It was fascinating because she came back a week
mm-hmm.
later and said, it's been amazing to me because, and she recounted this to me. You know, I never really realized, but a letter is a symbol. And when you grab a couple different letters to make a word, that's a symbol. And when you add up the mm-hmm. words in a sentence, it creates a little bit of a picture. She says, I would go and read that to-do list, and I'd walk away, and I have ADD. I'd get distracted, and I would lose the picture in my mind, so I'd have to go back and do the work of reassembling the picture. And after a while, it was too much work. I'd just go do something else. And so with the picture, I could see it. And I could associate what was going on, so I didn't have to go through the work of reassembling the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, that's, talk about metacognition. And I'm like, wow, that really makes a lot of sense. And so I share that because she did that, and she started doing to-do lists that had pictures on them, not necessarily in lines. Now, that's not necessarily an ugly system, but it is a system, and I think a lot of what we're talking about, Casey, is actually trying to understand how individual people's brains work and build systems around that as opposed to forcing you to do it a way that's traditionally done, which might be pretty, but might not make sense for you. Would you agree?
Absolutely, and you're completely reminding me of a client who I haven't thought of in a couple of years. She was an artist. And she brought me into her home office / studio apartment. She had art supplies everywhere, paper everywhere, magazines everywhere. She had recently moved there in the last few months. Things were just scattered. Things were still in boxes. And she was just looking at me, hopeless, and she goes, just help me. I don't understand what I have, and I don't even know what I want it to look like. Now, she specifically was a mosaic artist. So she thought in terms of creating beauty and image from broken pieces of things. So I remember turning to her and I said, something tells me you're not a list person. And most of my jobs, I would come in and I would help you make a list of everything you have. And we would say a list of categories, but something else is coming to mind. I said, how about we get a big white sheet of paper and we kind of do a tic-tac-toe sign, a grid, and let's turn your floor into the biggest mosaic you've ever done. So we did it on paper first, and one corner of the paper said metal art scraps. One corner of the paper said photographs I use for collages. One station said things I use to hold things together, you know, glue, sticks, glue gun, sticky tape, so on and so forth. So instead of a list, we saw this grid. And then I said, let's overlay this on your floor. And instead of putting things in little boxes, we duplicated that grid on her floor, actually. So her homework, which she did perfectly, was to create that list on the floor with those things. And then she was left with, I don't know what they were. It was a lot. It was maybe 12 to 15 piles of things. But it worked with her so much better than me giving an artist a little bullet point list. I said, let's create art out of this.
Then
build your mosaic from the piles.
That's absolutely beautiful. And everybody, the whole notion is these ugly organizational systems. And the idea here is to understand how your brain works and meet it where it is as opposed to stuff it into some system that doesn't work for you. And Casey, what you just described was absolutely, it's amazing because you took her brain and said, the list is not going to work, and we're going to do this grid on the floor. And by the way, I saw the categories and all that kind of stuff. And it's very, very functional for that particular individual, particularly if she knows what's going on and can revolutionize things. So I think that's the winner so far. We still have a little bit longer to go. Maybe we can come up with a topic, but I really like that one, Casey.
Thank you.
We need to go to a commercial break real quick. For our listeners out there, if you want to learn more about Casey, go to theinspiredoffice.com. And when people think of professional organizers, I think a lot of times they think of that person being on-site. And Casey actually does some organizing work with people through Skype, and you can learn more about that by going to theinspiredoffice.com/Skype. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Breaking news. Chad introduces the new digital edition of Attention Magazine, starting with the August issue and continuing with each bi-monthly issue. The digital edition is available for easy reading on www.chad.org. Through collaborative leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support, Chad and Attention Magazine work to provide science-based information about ADHD to parents, educators, and professionals who treat the disorder, the media, and the general public. When you advertise in Attention Magazine, your advertisement that includes a website address will automatically have a link to your website. There is no additional fee for your digital edition advertisement. It's free.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We got Casey Pady in our office, and we're talking about ugly organizational systems. Before the break, The grid on the ground was fascinating to me, but Casey, you got another one that I think is interesting. Can you talk to us about the hangers on the wall?
Sure. Again, this when you proposed the idea to do ugly organizing ideas, this is the first thing that popped into mind. Again, a never-before-had idea on my part. It's not something I've tried yet with the client, but now I'm really eager to. A lot of my clients, and I'm assuming many of your clients, are voracious note takers. I have so many clients who have more than 24 notebooks, big and small, bound, softback, hardback, half filled with notes, filled with two pages, so on and so forth. But an idea comes to mind, they have to write it down. So something I pictured was imagine having an entire wall in your office, wherever it is you work, live, of wire hangers. Just the cheapest wire hangers that come through the dry cleaners, and hang them flat on the wall with a nail, and then hang the notebook from the hanger. So the hanger is almost kind of working as a bookmark, and with the binding on top and the pages opening facing down. If you have small little notebooks, 3-4 inches, you could probably fit two of them on a hanger. If you have a big 8.5 by 11 notebook, then one would fit on a hanger. But so often, well, before this idea, I always imagined notebooks either just stacked on a desk or going left to right on a bookcase, and you can only see the thin little binding. Whereas with them hanging on ugly wire hangers on the wall, you can see the face. You can see the front of the notebook. I think that's pretty ugly, but could really help somebody who needs to see something bigger than a tiny little half-inch binding on the side. And again, that leads us back to what we said about labels and pictures. Then you can begin to pay closer attention to how you differentiate your notebooks. You could put pictures on those notebooks, so on and so forth. So I would love to see somebody use this.
What I like about that is, you know, it's kind of like the clipboard thing. The only difference is with binders, it's really cool because you got the categories on the wall that are hanging there, and you reach for one. Within it, it's easier to put dividers in there for more subcategories related to that topic. So, you know, the clipboard might work if you've got a system with just some different categories but not a lot of stuff into it. But if you've got multiple stuff within a category, it's a similar type thing. You're using the binders and the hangers this time. You're putting out visually, and it's easy to see, and you can open up, flip it down, and pull it in. The great thing is it's got a home to go right back where it was, relatively easy, and, again, it's really good for those visual learners. So it's a brilliant idea.
Thank you. And, you know, so many times people think as an organizer, I'm going to come in and say you need fewer notebooks. Let's take 24 notebooks and get it down to one. Easier said than done. So this allows people to be who they are. Keep on taking notes. If you're a note taker, sometimes you just have to help somebody run with it, but put it into a system that works for them so they can be the best note taker they can be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, but I got another one, and this one's a really, really kind of ugly system that I think you sent to me, and I got a over the summer, I was with my older son, and we were visiting colleges because he's a senior right now. We're trying to figure out where we're going, and I can't tell you how many student unions we went in where there's like these rooms and there's whiteboards all over the place, and people are drawing on the walls and on the desk and stuff. But the rooms are really kind of designed for that, And you had brought attention to me just that notion. I guess there's a company that has a product, but can you imagine anything more uglier than just having a room where you just write on the desk, write on the wall, write on anything, where your idea is almost like kind of graffiti? Now, that would be really, really ugly, but there's other products out there that you can actually fill a room with so that you can do that and actually erase it. You want to share what you've learned on that?
Yes, I am so in love with this product called Idea Paint. They can be found at ideapaint.com. I think some hardware stores are starting to sell it. What it does is it allows you to take an entire wall, door, desktop, table, any surface, and turn it into an erasable whiteboard. Now I believe they also have a clear Idea Paint, so if you have sort of a lightly colored wall or maybe a light wood grain desktop, you can just paint it with this clear shellac, write on it with an erasable marker, and it's as if you've turned that surface into a whiteboard. I've helped one friend install it, in that we painted probably half of an office wall with this Idea Paint. And it's incredible because I kind of have a love-hate relationship with whiteboards, white-off boards.
Mm-hmm.
People are really excited when they get them, but then 6 months later, things are hard to erase because they haven't been changed or altered or erased in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So this really allows you to literally think way outside of the box. Sometimes I find that the fault with whiteboards is they're too small. They're maybe 1 foot by 2 foot, or you know, even a couple inches by 1 foot. But this allows you to just think big and be messy and be visual, and it's just a wonderful way to kind of splatter your ideas onto a surface. And it is ugly, but I always tell people, weigh the pros and cons. So that's why I like this conversation so much. What's uglier, having all of your ideas scribbled on a wall or all of your ideas scribbled on, you know, 200 different scraps of paper that are littering your floor?
What I love about this is even right now I'm kind of like, you've got my mind kind of racing, and I got a lampshade, and I'm thinking, the ADHD mind, all of a sudden, you know, you get an idea, whether you're in a conversation or whatever, and you don't want to interrupt, so you just want to get it down. And, you know, a piece of paper, but the notion of just even if I painted my lampshade, I could actually just write it there and hold that thought for a second, or write it just physically on the desk or on the window or the mirror, the wall, the picture, all that kind of stuff, and I've got all those thoughts that are out there. Now, I might even actually just get something and might want to brainstorm and get the ideas out, but it's like kind of just in time. Wherever I am, as long as I've got the marker and that surface is painting, I'm ready to go. I don't have to worry about going to find a piece of paper and everything and sitting down and doing this the right way, because Lord knows that thought could evaporate from many of those with ADHD's mind between the notion of I got the thought and where's my stuff to go do it. So to me it's just cool just to be able to do it all over the place. Also the power of doodling. To have that surface kind of all where, you know, wherever you are, and you know I got papers here that mean something, just move away the stuff on the desk. Because many that I know or that I've coached, if they're doodling, it kind of helps them focus on a conversation so they can just draw, you know, whatever that's kind of going on. Again, it's not the prettiest organizational system, but for the right brain, it sounds to me like it could really fit the bill.
Right, and I know for myself, a lot of times when I'm working with clients, especially over Skype, I'm taking 1 to 2 pages of notes that I never look at again, but I'm always telling my clients I think better with a pen in my hand. And it's, of course, not so much that I'm going to go back and really organize those notes, but I just, my hand needs to be moving as I'm talking a lot of the time. So this allows somebody to, you know, scribble while they're on the phone, or just as the ideas come throughout the day or as you're passing through the room, just jot it. And then chances are you'll remember. It's going to be easier for you to remember that it's on the wall somewhere as to, oh, my God, what notebook did I put it into?
Well, the other thing, too, that just kind of came to mind, there's a couple individuals that I've gone on site to quote. I can't tell you how many times we were just doing stuff up on a whiteboard or grease board, and we got done, and like, wow, that's really cool. And if you did it all over your desk or whatever, you could erase it, or you could just take a picture of it and save it in your file folders to reference it if you needed to. So, again, it's just it's a really ugly tool that can really help the right person organize themselves that's unlike what you'd traditionally think about.
Right, and that's a good point. I've done that before. I had a client recently. It was an office of maybe 10 people, and I left for them this big kind of pretty color-coded to-do lists and stages of their projects that they needed to carry out after I was gone. And at the end, I just took a really clear photograph of it with the PDF converter I have. I use Genius Scan on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Took a picture of it, saved it under the file of the PDF, and now I have those notes forever that I put up on the wall.
Awesome. Well, Casey, we need to run to a break real quick. For everybody out there, again, to find more about Casey, go to theinspiredoffice.com. And remember, she can work with you over Skype. And to learn more about the details of that, just go to theinspiredoffice.com/Skype. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Casey Patey, and I'm having a great time talking about some ugly, ugly, ugly organizational systems. Casey, I had a few that I just kind of wanted to share with the crowd that I think that are different and interesting. One is we've talked about ugly organization systems, and one of the things that I really want to using the word ugly because some of them are ugly, but some of them are just you're looking at systems that you wouldn't ordinarily think of. And I'll never forget, this is years ago, I was coaching a woman one time, and there was this echo. And I'm like, where are you? And she said, well, I'm in my office. I said, well, there's an echo. She said, well, that's probably just from the tile. I said, tile? She said, yeah, well, I don't cook. I use my office my kitchen as an office. And I'm like, what? And she goes, yeah, there's drawers and there's cabinets and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, my God. Organizationally, there's all kinds of place to put some stuff in a real organized fashion. And for her, she didn't necessarily cook. I mean, she kept stuff in the refrigerator, I guess. But conventionally, she overcame the belief that a kitchen could actually be used as a very functional office, which really, really worked for her, which I thought was really kind of clever. Have you heard of anybody doing something like that?
No. That's a first for me. That is way outside of the box. But it kind of makes sense. In a good kitchen, you can have dozens of shallow little drawers and cabinets that can be filled with boxes and supplies.
Somebody
doesn't cook. It's wasted real estate, so use it however you see fit.
Yep. Another system is it's an organizational system. It's in finances. We really, let's call it budgeting is really what the thing is. Most people think of, budgets and computers, and you sit down, you load in QuickBooks or QuickEnter or your checking account register or whatever. And I was working with a person who was very, very experiential, and they had to touch some things, and they struggled managing some money. And we came up with an organizational system for their budget that looked like this. Once a month, they would go to the ATM and download, I'm just making up numbers, like $2,000 in $20 bills. And they went out and they got a whole bunch of envelopes. And on each envelope was a category like gas, shopping, groceries, electric bill, kind of whatever. And then they would sit and they would stuff the amount of money that they would need into that particular envelope, and then they would put it into their purse or a box or whatever. And so what happened is that's the way that they budgeted their money for the month. And then every time something kind of came up, they would go to that envelope and they would have to manage the money that was in that envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, you'd sit there and say, they had to interact with their money. And about the time that you opened the envelope, and it's the 20th of the month, and there wasn't any money in there, you actually had to begin to sit down and do another budgeting feature to reallocate what you had. And it's not a traditional budgeting system, but for this particular person who visually needed to physically see the money and what was there in order to kind of manage it. And by the way, they were pretty thrifty. If they were they only had $10 and they needed groceries that day, they could get in and out of the grocery store with $10, but if they didn't physically have the $10, they didn't see it, it made it difficult for them to manage and organize it. So It's not what you would think as a system to manage money, but it really worked for this particular individual. And I wanted to share that with the crowd out there because it's not necessarily ugly or pretty, but it's basically not something a person would ordinarily think of.
Right, and somebody can adapt that to their own needs. I mean, your client was using it for absolutely everything that they needed to spend money on, but somebody could still kind of deal with automatic payments and, you know, credit card, but you could set aside cash just for eating out or maybe just for gas and transportation, so on and so forth. So, yeah, I can see people adapting that in a lot of different ways.
Yep. Another one that I've shared is when it comes to to-do lists, some people are overwhelmed maybe by the binders on the wall or the clipboards or something like that, and they think in categories. One of the things that I've had some success with recently is people to write, you know, things that they need to do on an index card, and then they group the index cards by categories, and they put a rubber band around it. And the cool thing about this is you can collapse them all, put a rubber band around it, so you manage the visual part of that. But when you need it, you can take them out and put it on a table and spread it all out. Now, you can write a word on it, or you can put a picture on it, or you can draw a picture, whatever. And the nice thing, too, is there is some visual people out there. The one person I worked with individually on this, they used to have a to-do list, and believe it or not, most people feel good when they check something off. For her, it was a visual distraction. And the cool part about the index cards is when you got something done, you didn't cross it up. You just crumpled it up and threw it in the trash can. What was also cool about the index cards is you could reorder their priority, and if you decided that this card really didn't belong in this category, it was really easy for you to take it out and stick it into another category. And so it just, again, it's not a traditional organizational system, and again, this one's not pretty nor ugly, but again, the idea is if you begin to think ugly and you start thinking of functionality and you start to think about how your brain works, all of a sudden you get these really cool ideas, which might not work for everybody, but all they have to do is work for you.
Right, right. No, I like that. I mean, the options are limitless.
You got some more ideas to share?
I do. Actually, this is a good segue into my next idea because you were just talking about to-dos on index cards. So one to-do per card, and she can rearrange them as needed, reprioritize. Jeff, I don't know if you've had a chance to look up the one product I sent you called the Ski Wall.
I did not.
Everybody listening can just Google Sticky Wall. It's kind of a complicated URL, but just Google Sticky Wall. And this is a product that a Skype client of mine told me about. He is a workshop facilitator. He has a sticky wall that he folds up and brings to workshops. What this product is it sounds like it's made of some kind of felt backing, but it has a mildly adhesive surface. And it sounds like it's pretty large. I don't know exactly, but at least probably 10 feet by 10 feet. You can cover the entire wall in this sticky substance. And in his workshops, he has attendees, you know, put up vision boarding, index cards, murals, so on and so forth. But somebody could cover a wall in their home with a sticky wall. And your client with the index card, could at some point, she could go back and forth between rubber banding them so she's only seeing what's on top and just displaying the to-dos on the wall and then pulling them down and trashing them as she goes. But what I like about this idea, kind of like the clipboards, is it's multimedia. It allows you to kind of take your needs and the things that collect in your notes off of this you know, away from this trained mentality of everything has to be on 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. You know, if you're, let's say you're budgeting or you're a writer or you just have a lot of to-dos like the rest of us, you can display all of these on the wall. It can be scraps of paper. It can be full-size sheets. It can be pages you tear out of a notebook. You can put, you know, a row of 25 index cards and then rearrange them like a puzzle. So talking to it right now lets me see that it's like creating a puzzle and solving a puzzle and allowing your thoughts to be modular and, you know, physically and literally see what needs to be dealt with and, you know, pull things down, pull them apart, rearrange them, line them up as needed.
Well, what I it's kind of like a reverse post-it. Rather than have the sticky stuff on the post-it, the sticky stuff's on the wall. And what I love about it is that, you know, I've worked with some people where they just, you know, Lord knows the right size post-it's never round. So you just write it on a piece of paper. It really doesn't matter. And the wall becomes the kind of the post-it. And you can put that stuff up and move it around because it really doesn't matter. You can, you know, you can stick a napkin up there, a piece of, you know, 8.5 and 11, mm-hmm. a little, you know, whatever. And it's very, very, very dynamic from what you're saying. You're putting around, and I mean, it's not pretty, but it can be very functional, particularly for those people who get ideas in the darndest places, and they capture that idea, but it's too much work to consolidate that into one cohesive thing. You skip that step because, by the way, that's a repetitive and boring step when you have to rewrite something over and over and over, and those with ADD have a hard time sticking with something that's boring. So you captured the idea, and if you're that type of a person and it doesn't have to have balance or anything like that, boom, you're good to go. So I love that one.
Business cards, too. So many times, that, you know, I'll be working with a client. It can be for months, weeks, or it can be for a couple hours. And at the end of that period of time, what we're left with after we sorted through the boxes and the receipts and statements and the folders is kind of this little stash of itty-bitty stuff, you know, things torn off of the back of an envelope, notes on the back of a business card, tiny little scraps of paper with phone numbers, and we're trying to figure out who the phone number belongs to. So this is a really great way to kind of deal with those things, just stick them all up on the wall and begin sending them off into stations. I could see you having a corner of the wall that's like, people I need to talk to.
Yep.
And, you know, if you make that list on a computer or a piece of paper, it's just a list of names. But if you have a sticky wall corner, then suddenly you have business cards up there, you have scraps of paper up there, so on and so forth. It allows you to be multimedia.
Yep, yep. It's just amazing. And so the fun part about today, Casey, is the fact that the idea, think ugly or think functional, and all of a sudden you can come up with these amazing ideas that are a long way from those traditional really pretty type thing where you're stuffing your brain into the system as opposed to understanding your brain and building a system around it. I think that really makes a lot of sense, and I think that a lot of people, when they think of professional organizers, they think of they're going to walk in here and they're going to line all this kind of stuff up, but it's really not that. Just like coaching, you come in and you try to understand, meet people where they are, and build systems around how they work. Is that accurate? You want any comments on that?
Yeah, exactly. It's very true, and that's the hesitancy a lot of people have with calling an organizer because they think, you know, she's just going to come in and tell me to put everything in a filing cabinet. But it's never that. If anything, when I'm working with clients, they end up with fewer file drawers and file folders than they had in the first place. Another idea that comes to mind along those lines is an office client I had many years ago. She was probably 72, 73, retired professor, was working on writing her second or third book. And she had a couple towers of just a really heavy, hefty, behemoth filing metal filing cabinet. And she just couldn't organize her thoughts and organize her papers to be in a place where she was had enough clarity to sit down and write this book. But what she had in her home were a lot of these just really cheap, maybe $6 plastic file crates from Staples, I think. So what we did was I helped her kind of go through her bookshelf, go through her notes, go through her files, and outline, I think it was 10 or 12 chapters for her new book. And I said, you know what, you have at least 10 or 12 of these file boxes. So what we did was we lined the entire perimeter of her office with these file crates, open file crates, pretty ugly, hefty things. And each crate housed the notes for what was to be a chapter of her book.
Wow.
So it was ugly in that instead of, you know, with a file cabinet, you can close the door on it, and the footprint is very small. But with this, it's like we turned her filing system inside out. And it was just chapters 1 through 12 in a line around the room. And as she was working throughout the day, if she had an idea for chapter 4, there it went. If she had an idea for chapter 1, there it went. If she had an idea for the closing, she knew where that would go, too. So that's just one way of kind of adapting my ideas to what a client needs, because that system certainly wouldn't work for most of my clients, but for her, it allowed her to write her book.
Absolutely, and I love what you said. We turned her filing cabinet inside out. That's really kind of cool. Nice little catchphrase.
Thanks, it was fun.
Well, we need to kind of wrap things up. Any final comments, thoughts?
You know, one thing that's kind of in mind as we're talking is, you know, a lot of people turn to the Oprah magazines and the Real Simple magazines to get inspiration. You open the page and you see these, you know, beautiful rooms. Think of an image that would be really jarring if you opened an organizing magazine to a page and thought, what is going on there? That can't be order. That looks hideous. And then from there, maybe that image will fill in and become your ugly organizing system. But I've learned so much through doing this show with you, and you just kind of have to sometimes close your eyes, settle in, and ask yourself what would help. And then the images seem to come from nowhere once you kind of free yourself of the limitations of the office products that you see over and over and over again.
Yep. Free yourself of that picture that you believe it to be, it's supposed to be all pretty, and go to, at the end of the day, if I can lay my hands on it and know where it is, wherever that is, it's organized. Like, I remember, I grew up, and there was this guy, had four-car garage. He had so much stuff in there, but I can tell you this, if you asked for something, he could walk right to it and give it to you. So everybody else would say, this is an unorganized mess, but, you know, for my definition, this guy knew where it was. If you cleaned it all up, he'd probably not know where it is. So honoring that's kind of a big deal. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to remind everybody to learn more about Casey. Go to theinspiredoffice.com. And with that, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Everybody, we hope you enjoyed this. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio.